Hi, I'm Daryl Rochelle. Welcome to Canada's only alternative travel and outdoor adventure radio program. In just a moment, we're going to talk travel. But first, hats off to the 68 Comeback Special for the last couple of hours of eclectic music, a combination of Tom Murray, Craig Elliott, and Craig's Wee Ones, Gabe and Sadie, back next Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. You're tuned to CJSR FM 88 or online at cjsr.com. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, three Canadian cyclists talk about how they are working and cycling across the country at the same time. This is Radio Outpost. Radio Outpost is a program for engaged travelers. Coming up on today's show, meet a couple of travelers who cycled across Canada, not necessarily as a holiday, but so they can get to work.
We're not on a holiday, it's not a vacation, it's not a tour the way people think of it. We are actually cycling to our work, and that is things that we have booked that are in other cities.
We are ultra commuters.
But first, we talk with another traveler who is into ultra commuting as he brings his performance art come free bike repair shop to Edmonton. Stay tuned. This is Radio Outpost. I bet you have a bike that needs some love. Well, until tomorrow, you can take your squeaky chains and loose bike cables to Harcourt House Art Center and get your bike fixed for free. The event is part performance art, part bike workshop, and part alternative travel experiment. It's called the Bicycle Rehabilitation Project and is the brainchild of cyclist and bike mechanic Michael Flaherty. To find out more about the project, I went to the loading dock at Harcourt House Art Center. That's where the Bicycle Rehabilitation Project is set up. I asked Michael how he got the idea to bike ride from city to city, repairing bikes for free.
Well, I'm also a ceramic artist, in addition to doing this type of performative work. And a few years ago, I traveled to Montana to do a residency, and decided that I wanted to go on my bicycle. It would give me a week to get there and a week to get back, and that would be like a vacation. But when I got there, it seemed like arriving on a bicycle from Canada in southwestern Montana was as much of a spectacle as anything else that I did that summer. So it really kind of showed me the performative qualities of riding a bicycle. And then I just decided that I wanted to do a bicycle art tour somehow.
So how did you get the idea to do sort of a repair art tour?
I'm not really sure where that came from. You know, I can't remember that exact detail, but it seems like there's a lot of squeaky, rusty bicycles out there that people would just love to get on and ride. Or, you know, people are riding those types of bikes and, you know, not enjoying the ride as much as they could. Mm-hmm. And just, it worked. Whenever I got the idea, it just seemed like obvious that was the way it should be done.
Right. So describe how it works.
Well, basically, I started in Vancouver and have been bicycling around from city to city and stopping at galleries. And when I come into a gallery, I just get out all my tools. In most cities, we've borrowed a bike stand, a repair stand, and we just open up the doors, put out a big sign, and hope that people show up.
So what do people say? I'm sure you get this from time to time. People come in and go, okay, this is an art gallery, but how is this art? How do you respond to that?
That's always a difficult question because there are so many different answers, but none of them are necessarily all that convincing to everybody. Sometimes I say, well, this is an action and I'm doing something with my body So it's like a performance. Or I say, well, I'm arranging oil. A painter arranges oil on a canvas. I do it on a bike. So, you know, it could be like that. Or I can go into, you know, a historical explanation having to do with, you know, ready-made art or with kind of gallery intervention projects that other artists have done. Or, you know, I can go into a whole theoretical kind of thing, too, about how all art is based upon relationships between people, and this really is focusing on that relationship of people coming in and meeting me and us talking and working through a problem together and helping each other out.
Yeah, and I guess travel is sort of based on relationships too, so that must work into the mix as well, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And the whole idea of just meeting people along the way and explaining to them that I'm an artist and that I'm doing this project is very much a part of the piece for me.
Yeah. How's the tour gone so far? I know you've run into a couple bears in the Rockies. How did that go?
Well, I'm unharmed, so that's the main thing. The tour has been great so far. I've had quite a bit of rain starting off on the West Coast, and then it cleared up a fair bit coming through the interior, and then saw some bears in Mount Robson Park and in Jasper Park. But
you're nonetheless for wear. Everything's just fine.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we were talking about travel before, and one of the things that comes into play when people travel is relying on the generosity of strangers. Has that worked into the mix for you? I mean, you're fixing their bikes for free, basically. So have people been generous, not just with their time, but other things as well?
It's been a really incredible exercise in generosity, I think. I am doing this simple gesture for people, and people have, you know, offered me their home to stay in and have invited me to dinner, and somebody gave me a ticket to go to a concert, so we went to a concert together, and just you know, the gift of, you know, friendship and the gift of just a conversation has been a constant thing in this project, and I appreciate it tremendously.
Yeah. So where do you go next after Edmonton? Where do you ride to?
The next step is Minneapolis. That'll be about 3 weeks riding there. And then I go on to Kingston, Sackville in New Brunswick, and St. John's, Newfoundland.
Michael, enjoy the rest of your trip. It is a great, great idea. And I see some rusty old bikes here that need your attention, so I'll let you get at it.
Thanks.
Michael Flaherty is an artist, a traveler, and a cyclist. He's riding his bike across Canada and parts of the United States, fixing bikes for free at art galleries. He'll cover about 7,000 kilometers altogether on his journeys. His Uber cycling exhibit is called the Bicycle Rehabilitation Project and runs until tomorrow, that's Thursday, June 28th at 5 p.m. in Edmonton. So bring your bike down to the Harcourt House Art Center. It's on 112th Street and 102nd Avenue for a free repair. Hey, and you'll be part of an art project too. Still to come on today's show, more ultra commuters. This time on a very, very strange bike. If you missed something on today's show, check out the Outpost audio archive on the CJSR website, which is at cjsr.com. Just click on News and open the Radio Outpost page. You can also subscribe to the Radio Outpost podcast on the CJSR news site. Again, just go to cjsr.com. All mysteries will be revealed. Stay tuned to CJSR, because coming up tonight at 6 p.m., it's an hour of Afrocentric news and music on the Terror Dome, presented by Minister Faust. And coming up at 5:30, at the end of today's show, it will be time for Rise Up, an alternative look at politics with a focus on the Alberta political scene. But up next, why two travelers from Vancouver wanted to cycle across Canada on a bike that looks like an optical illusion. So what pops into your head when I say back-to-back recumbent tandem? Well, if you're a bike geek, you'll get it. But I bet you'll still be shaking your head a bit. Okay, let's go through this. A tandem, of course, is a bicycle built for two, okay? A recumbent is a bike that is very low to the ground with the pedals out front instead of underneath the rider. And, well, of course, back-to-back means the person on the front of the tandem, often known as the captain, sits forward, obviously, but the person who rides in the back of the tandem, and that person is called the stoker, rides backwards. So they're back to back, sort of like a push me, pull you. Okay, you got a picture in your head? Well, that's the kind of bike Vancouver travelers Dustin Anderson and Farah Nosrali rode from Thunder Bay, Ontario to Edmonton this year. Dustin goes across the country as the Purple Pirate, teaching kids about how to get more physically active, and Farah leads yoga workshops from coast to coast. They get from job to job on their back-to-back recumbent tandem. The tour is called 5,000 for Health, and I talk with Dustin and Farah on the porch of my Edmonton home. Dustin, Farah, welcome to Edmonton.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Let's talk about your trip. Dustin, why was it called 5,000 for Health? Talk about the idea and how it started.
Last year, I was invited to perform at the Canada Dance Festival. And we live in Vancouver, and we calculated the kilometers to the Canada Dance Festival in Ottawa to be around 5,000. So I thought, well, it's a great opportunity to start touring nationally as the Purple Pirate and bringing my own love of active living to 5,000 children from Vancouver to Ottawa along the way.
So the 5,000 isn't about it's about the distance and the number of children that you're trying to meet and work with?
Yeah, I mean, we surpassed that this year. We connected with way more children and didn't ride quite as many kilometers, but another part of the 5,000 theme is that there are way more than 5,000 ways to be active.
Talk about how this trip sort of dovetails with the rest of your lives, because you call it, oh, you have a funny word for the trip. It's not cycle touring exactly. What do you call it?
We are ultra commuters.
Or what's the other one? Not mega commuters.
Extreme commuting.
Right, extreme commuting. Describe what extreme commuting is, Farah.
Well, we're not on a holiday. It's not a vacation. It's not a tour the way people think of it. We are actually cycling to our work. And that is things that we have booked that are in other cities. So we've made bookings in Thunder Bay, in Winnipeg, in Regina. And so we're cycling to those places. And it just so happens that we've organized it as a tour.
So describe the work that you've been doing from city to city.
I'm a laughter yoga instructor. So I do both laughter yoga trainings and workshops for people just to help people relearn that authentic belly laugh that we used to use when we were children.
So basically, you're riding from job to job, from contract to contract, right? Dustin, the Purple Pirate, explain quickly what the Purple Pirate is.
The Purple Pirate is my character. Mm-hmm. I perform at elementary schools, and I share a show called The Fundamentals of Fitness, mm-hmm. in which I use dance, comedy, interaction, acrobatics to share with the children the Purple Pirate code.
Speaking of fun, you've got to have the funniest looking bike I've ever seen. Describe the bike that you have ridden across the country with.
Are you talking about our back-to-back recumbent tandem?
Yes, I am.
Yes, the back-to-back recumbent tandem is, we think it's the greatest way to do long-distance, high-speed touring. It's comfortable, it's fast. We could fit way more stuff, as you've mentioned, on it than a cycle tourist would ever consider.
So what does it look like? Describe what it looks like.
I face forward. Well, it's a recumbent, so we're both sitting back comfortably. Yeah. And I face forward, and Farah faces backwards.
So Farah, what is it like on the back of that bike? I know that's a question that you probably have had a million times on this trip, but how does it feel?
If I think back to when I first got on the bike, it feels like being on a ride at an amusement park. The sensation of moving backwards quickly and not knowing where you're going. That's what it feels like. And rides at amusement parks are fun. So this bike is a lot more fun than a normal bike is. So that's how I would describe it.
Right. Is it efficient, Dustin, or is it more of a novelty?
It's extremely efficient. If I consider our ride, yours and mine yesterday, on your tandem,
right.
our butts were getting sore after about 30 minutes. It takes about 4 hours before our feet start to get a little bit numb. And then for our feet to get numb on a recumbent tandem, we just unhook. One person can continue pedaling. One person unhooks, lets the circulation get back to their feet, clips back in. The other person unclips, and we continue moving. It's amazing.
Are there some disadvantages to it?
It's huge. It's monstrous. It
hard
is
to maneuver.
It's hard. Well, yeah, it's hard to maneuver. Actually, it's not bad. It's better this year than it was last year. In crosswinds, particularly through the prairies, it's susceptible to crosswinds because it's a big flat area. We keep all our gear between the seats. So
that kind of turns into a sail almost,
a sail,
right?
Sail, yeah. Yes. And but that said, in headwinds, it's better. It's better in headwinds than it is in crosswinds. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Hey, Farah, if you're in the back, I assume you're sort of like the navigator. Is that right?
I'm the navigator, and I'm the eyes of watching traffic. What's happening behind us? How heavy the flow of traffic is? What traffic is doing? And then also, as you said, I keep a map with us when we're in a city, and I tell Dustin which way to go, which way to turn.
So you're kind of like a living and breathing rearview mirror.
Absolutely. It makes the ride much safer that way.
Yeah, because you can tell Dustin, you can say, okay, it's clear now. No one has to crane their neck to look around. Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful thing.
And it takes trust on my part. It takes her to trust me that I'm not going to run us into the ditch. It also takes my trust that if she says it's clear to cross that turn off when cars would be traveling 100 kilometers an hour, I just go.
Yeah.
And that took a bit for me to have trust as well.
Right, just to sort of, yeah, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? It's yeah, I can imagine. Because even yesterday when Dustin and I went for a ride on our tandem, you would say to me, you would say, okay, it's all clear, but I would still, really? And I would always look. But yeah, once you,
it takes time.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes time, and that's great. As a captain on a tandem, you well know, there's enough to concentrate on in front of you.
Yeah.
That if I don't have to worry about what's going on behind me, it's one less thing.
Praise baby Jesus. Yes, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the ride. You started in Thunder Bay in early April, is that right?
No. Late April.
Oh, late April.
April 29th.
April 29th, and then ended up here in Edmonton. When did you arrive in Edmonton?
The 15th.
The 15th.
Right. So what was the highlight, like the best day you had of riding? Was it the same for both of you? I wonder, or was it different? The day that you just go, wow, that was a spectacular day, the scenery, the weather, whatever. Any day that really stands out for you?
Because it's so recent, I remember the ride from Airdrie to Pinoca. It just went so quickly, I couldn't believe it. It was like more than 150 kilometers. I think it was about 180. And the highway here between Calgary and Edmonton is beautiful. The rolling hills, the speed and momentum you get, it's fantastic.
Noise and transport trucks aside, it's one of the greatest roads to ride on a tandem.
Yeah.
Because you can really keep your momentum and you can fly.
Really? Like all across Canada, the road between Edmonton and Calgary was the one that you remember the most, you think?
Yeah, it was the most for this bike, because we can, once we get a certain speed, that we can coast for so long that, yeah, definitely.
I would say one other day that really stands out was in Manitoba, I think.
Coming to Winnipeg?
Well, that was a fast day. We averaged 38 kilometers an hour for that day.
Wow.
But no, I'd say one of the days was extreme headwind. It was unbelievable. We'd planned for 150 kilometers, but the headwind was, and the crosswind was so strong, I think we got 85.
Yeah, I remember.
It was amazing. And once I realized that there's nothing we can do, and I calmed down, I stopped being frustrated, then it was a great day, actually. That was one of the nicest days, and believe it or not.
Despite the conditions.
Despite the conditions, one of the very interesting thing that happens is your conception of time changes when you're cycle touring or when you're cycle commuting, as we do, long distances. You can't think about time because it doesn't move. And somehow you let go of the sense of time and you're able to really enjoy the journey. And there's a magic when you're able to let go of that sense of time.
Yeah.
As in, when we're going to get there, how long is it going to take?
Sure.
And that's a difficult thing. Like when you're cycle touring, when you're just on holiday and you're just sort of making your way from stop to stop, it's a beautiful thing. You can let the city go. But when in our position, we have deadlines to make.
Yeah, because so, you're working.
We're working. I've got to show up at such and such a school at 9 a.m. in Winnipeg, and we're in Thunder Bay, like 1,000 kilometers away. We've got to find a way to be at peace with the speed and still make our deadline. It's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough, and it's harder for me than it is for Farah, but we're getting there.
Right. So, were you ever late for an appointment?
No.
How many did you have across the country? like between the two of you? How many places did you have to be? Like ballpark.
30, 40?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe around 40.
Yeah, and you were there on time for every single one of them.
On time? Well, no, there was one in Winnipeg where I sort of goofed on the time. But I made the show. I made the show on time. I just didn't set up. The principal was a little nervous that I wasn't going to be there.
Right.
But I made the show on time.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Dustin and Farah, and we're talking about their back-to-back tandem tour across Canada. What was the worst day?
The worst day?
You have to think about it, so that's a good sign.
I would say the worst day was getting from the north of Calgary to the south to make it to one of Farah's shows.
You mean just commuting in Calgary? City.
Oh, yes, because...
And on the cycle paths.
On the cycle paths. Yes, because the maps are set up, the Calgary's set up where they build a new suburb and they have to allot so much space for bike tours or bike paths. And so they've got this great map and they tout having the most kilometers of cycle paths, but none of them connect. And they'll just end. And if you're from Calgary, you know your way around fine. We're from Vancouver. So we found ourselves portaging this 100 or 50 kilograms of bike and gear up some steps onto dirt and mud. And
luckily, a few hundred meters after, we had to portage the bike upstairs and ride slowly in mud.
And the bike's not designed for mud.
Right.
We had met someone who knew where we were and who was heading in the same direction as us.
So you just followed them.
We followed them, and we made it to my workshop. Started at 7. I think I arrived there at 5 to 7. So it was a little bit stressful.
Yeah,
Both getting lost and trying to make the time.
Yeah, riding through mud on this bike, I mean, the bike is no good for mud. It's a tandem, which makes it difficult.
But there was a very excellent lesson that came out of that, and that lesson was that we have to find our own way in the city, and that what other people say we'll take into consideration, because we don't travel the way most people do. And so, for example, a lot of people... In Alberta especially, don't ride on the roads because they ride on the paths and maybe they don't feel as comfortable with traffic. We ride in traffic, and so we feel comfortable even on big roads with two lanes and traffic traveling at 60 kilometers an hour.
And because it's a tandem, we can carry, like on McLeod Trail, we on our way out of Calgary, we were going to do the bike pass, but then we decided that we got lost in the bike path system, and we found McLeod Trail. We thought we're going to take McLeod Trail, and if we crank up our energy, we can sit at 40 kilometers an hour pretty comfortably, and in traffic. And then we have Farah facing backwards, so drivers are less likely to get angry because they're seeing a human.
Yeah, right. I never thought of that, because you can make eye contact with those drivers as they're coming up behind you. That must make a huge difference.
It does. It humanizes the whole cycling experience from the perspective of drivers, because I think it's harder to be aggressive. I think there's also the novelty of the kind of bike we ride, but definitely it completely changes the experience of riding a bicycle when you're able to have interaction with drivers.
Yeah, you're kind of like the greeter.
I'm the greeter, and if anyone I can see is following us too closely, I can glare them down.
Right. Or a friendly wave to we're over here, beware.
Yeah, absolutely. I do. I try to keep a smile on my face and be very friendly in my interactions.
What were you averaging per day? How many kilometers per day?
I think this trip we averaged around 140. Maybe 130, 140 kilometers a day.
Yeah. So how did this one compare? How did 5,000 for Life Part 2 compare to when you did it last year?
Different lessons. This year, we were slack this year in how we prepared, and we carried way more stuff than we should have.
How much weight did you carry around?
We were 210 kilograms with us and the bike, and together we're about 120 kilograms, so it was about 90 kilograms of bicycle and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that is amazing, yeah.
I think it's, amazing is one way to describe it. I would describe it as something that novices do, and we've done a fair bit of touring, and we should have known better.
Also, last year, we did a lot more cycling and a lot less working and socializing. This trip, we've had a lot more bookings, so it's been a lot busier in terms of our work, and that's given us a lot more time to socialize with people because of the work that we do and the places where we've stayed. So in that sense, it's been great. We've met a lot more people.
Now, you, your bike, you know, I feel remiss here that we haven't introduced the bike, which is on its way to France. But Mickey was the name of the bike, right?
Yes, Mickey, courtesy of Mickwick Bicycle Company. And so we just named him Mickey.
Right.
And, yeah, Mickey, the back-to-back recumbent tandem, is now on his way to Maurice and Robert, who are very excited to have him.
Yeah, they live in France. So next year when you do the ride, you won't have Mickey. You'll have another back-to-back recumbent tandem, right? What's it going to be like?
Well, when you're traveling as a team, I mean, like any relationship, the different people involved in a relationship have different rhythms, different way of working, different ways of looking at the world, for the most part. And this one will have independent drivetrains, so it'll be an all-wheel drive. I will power the front wheel, Farr will power the rear, and the greatest benefit of this I see is that we'll be able to have our legs spinning at whatever cadence or RPMs that we choose, which is, at the end of a long day, when your blood sugar's low, when you're cycling, you can bicker at each other, as you well know.
Yeah.
And it's one less thing to bicker at somebody about, and that also will simplify the bike in quite a few ways as well.
Right. Farah, just describe your cycling relationship. Is it good, bad, average? How does it sit? Maybe that's too personal a question, but take a swing at it.
No, it's we have an excellent relationship. It's taken time to develop that relationship. The first time we got on a tandem bicycle, we fought. And so there were a lot of things that we had to learn in terms of compromise and communication that has enabled it to get to the level we're at. That's not to say we don't bicker when our blood sugar is low or when it's a difficult day or when we're having challenges. And I think that's just the case if you're spending 24 hours a day, you know, on 60 consecutive days with the same person. You know, you need time alone. And so I think we're very, very grateful that the tandem has enabled us to strengthen our relationship in so many ways. And a testament to that is that we're getting married.
Praise baby Jesus. That's twice I've said that in this interview. That's a good thing. Well, again, congratulations on the ride. It's over now. Good luck next year, and thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us.
Dustin Anderson and Farah Nosrally are travelers. They live in Vancouver, and I talk with Dustin and Farah on the porch of my Edmonton home. If you want to see a photo of a back-to-back recumbent tandem, go to their website, 5000forhealth.com. Well, that's pretty much all the time left for this week's show. If you love to travel and maybe want to go on a free adventure as a Radio Outpost correspondent, please drop me a line at outpost@cjsr.com or give me a call here at FM 88. If you have any questions about today's show, again, don't hesitate to contact me. Thanks to the CJSR volunteers who helped put Radio Outpost on the air.
For Radio Outpost, I'm Bob Brophy.
I'm George Earl.
I'm Stacey Micklejohn.
Thanks to all of you. If you missed something on today's show and want to listen to it again, you can listen to the show online and as a podcast. Just go to cjsr.com and click on News. There's a huge online CJSR news archive there that you really should check out. Stay tuned to FM 88 tonight, because coming up at 6 p.m., the Terror Dome, presented by Minister Faust with Afrocentric News. But up next, it's Rise Up Radio Free Edmonton, an alternative look at politics with an emphasis on the Alberta political scene. For Radio Outpost, Canada's only alternative travel radio program, I'm Daryl Rochelle. Thanks for listening, and inshallah, happy trails.
I landed in Santiago. My impression of Santiago has been pleasantly surprised just after I...
And then we were staying in the guest house there, which was basically a big room with all sorts of chickens and dogs and stuff. And he kept on coming into our room while we were sleeping and saying, "Hey, does anybody else want to have some opium?" And we have sleeping quarters inside this house, and it's just...
Well, I mean, I do get a chance to go to India every year. I go to South Africa every year as well. I've done some trips there. I've given a lot of warnings. You got to watch out. Crime level is high.